Speaking on this program is Joe Ware.
And the psalmist here is not being a braggart. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they're ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false and evil way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let every person in this room this morning, please, for just a few minutes, think on God's word, its power, its worth, and what it can mean for the whole world and what it does mean to every faithful child of God. Inspiration writes in Proverbs 6 and 23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Our Heavenly Father tells us in Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield of them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. The Hebrew writer wrote, speaking of Jesus, the Son of God, my Lord and my Savior, your Lord and your Savior, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Brethren and friends, we need not worry about what's going on in the physical world, because the Son of God makes everything work by His word and His power. And the goal of my life and the goal of your life is to be, I shall trust in God's Word. I appreciate so much those lessons that Brother Gary brought this congregation recently regarding worship. And in those well-stated lessons, he's been so clear and pure in upholding the Word of God. And in teaching me and teaching all who would hear of the glorious good of the Bible, and of how that we can and ought to trust God's Word, and how that we ought to honor and believe and live it, and that God indeed will bless all who do that. For, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is quick, it's alive, and it is powerful. As the Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews 4 and 12, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner, a knower, a discoverer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do I have to tell you what our lesson is this morning? Thou shalt honor God's Word. In our homes, let us love God's Word. When we're out in the world, having to scrape and scrap with those who don't believe in the same rules, let us honor God's Word. When we're in the safety and privacy of our homes, let us trust in God's Word. Let us know that in the darkest hour of this life, it is God's law, God's Word, from whence all strength comes. James, the writer of the practical gospel, says it another way in James 1:22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Of course, deceiving your own selves. God's Word is what the world needs. God's Word is what the church must live on. God's Word is what the world needs. The truths found in the Bible are precisely what every home needs. Let us know it and let us trust it. Most of the time we connect this verse with something totally different. in Colossians, the third chapter, need I say more? Verses 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in me and you richly. I wish I could put it in words how so desperately all humanity needs God's word in every moment of life. The answer to every human need is in God's word. And those workers of Satan in every century have always sought to undermine God's word in order to take away faith from the believers. And brethren and friends, today, even in certain circles in the church, those who would undermine and change the will of God and change the Lord's body have started by making us question the Bible. But let us have the courage to stand by God's word. The answer to every man's needs, the answer to those things that every woman ought to have, are not found in social clubs, though social clubs are just fine. They're not found in organizations such as the United Nations, though it has its place. They're not found among God-hating humanists. The answer to man's needs are not found in fun and games, nor in athletics, though most of these things are just fine. But what I need and what you need is in God's word. And let us remember this morning and the rest of our lives that thousands upon thousands have died to defend the word of God. And do you think I'm going to take it lightly? And do you think I think that you ought not to stand up and speak up when even so-called brethren undermine the word of God? I think not, brothers and sisters. Our lesson this morning is about honoring God's word. I'm sure I'm repetitious sometimes, but perhaps I told some of you not too long ago, my wife and I are sitting in a class, and you better believe we weren't in a mosque, and we weren't with a group of denominationals. And a person said, I'm so thankful that we're getting away from the old-fashioned preaching. I could have been a real buddy and kept my mouth shut. Satan's buddy. But I said to the entire group, wait a minute. I've listened to the gospel preached for almost 60 years. And all of my life I've heard balanced gospel preaching. And I'm thankful for those men and women who gave all. I'm thankful for those preachers and those deacons and those elders and those teachers, some of whom in the last 30 years have been persecuted for not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here this morning to encourage you to honor the word of God. God's word is the answer to every human need. And throughout history, God's word has been prominent and available to those who would avail themselves to it. It is God's word that will help in our darkest hours. It's the word of truth of the gospel that has the solution to man's dilemmas. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ on which every human being can pin his or her hope. The inspired apostle wrote, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Brethren, friends, and visitors in this room this morning, God's word begs of us that we ought not let the word dwell sparsely, sparingly, just barely, but let it dwell richly in our lives. Jesus said to His Heavenly Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. There is no other way between here and heaven for one to be dedicated, to be set apart to God, to that which is right and good and wholesome and holy, without knowing and living and loving God's word and God's truth. God's word is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news we all need. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 1 and verse 13, through inspiration, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Let God's word dwell in you and in me richly. And that means completely. That means fully. Colossians 1 and 5, for the hope which is laid up in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. John 14 and 24, the Bible says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So the first thing is, let us let God's word dwell richly in us. The second key word in that verse is, let it dwell. God's word is no good if it's worn here. God's word is no good if I can cast it off when circumstances are not good. The apostle, through inspiration, is encouraging every child of God to let the word stay in his or her life. Let it live. Let it find a habitation. Let it find a place of abode. John said it this way in 1 John 2 and 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Young men, young women, does the word of God live with you every day? Have you given a place in your life completely for the word of God? So that indeed and in fact you can and will overcome the wicked one. For to the extent that the word of God dwells in my life and your life, so does God dwell in my life and your life. The Bible asks this question, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. In Romans 8 and 11, the Bible teaches, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make you alive your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Let God's Word dwell richly, fully, completely, and permanently in our lives. I'm always so encouraged when I see a young man or a young woman, an older Christian, who when faced with a challenge or a charge of some kind, simply stands firm because the Word of God is in his or her life. And I know one of the most discouraging things we experience, particularly in an area such as McMinnville or Warren County, is to be around those folk whom you know to be baptized believers, and see them cave in to everything that comes down the pike. The answer is God's Word living totally in our lives. Because what I cannot accomplish, God can. What I cannot do, God can do. Let God's Word dwell in us richly. I know Timothy was so encouraged when the Apostle Paul wrote to him in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5 and reminded Timothy, 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 it was your mother and grandmother who instilled that faith in you. Be thankful. Mothers and fathers, are you instilling faith in your children and grandchildren? For what they need more than new clothes and great toys is God's Word dwelling in them. Why should God's Word dwell in me and in you? First of all, so that I can grow up in Christ. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. The Apostle Paul encouraged, rather Peter encouraged, new Christians to desire the gospel, the milk of the word, so that one can grow. The psalmist wrote many, many years ago in Psalms 119, and verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. We need God's Word in our lives so that we can grow up spiritually. We need God's Word in our life, number two, so that we can meet temptations and overcome them. James said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And do we believe and practice this? Thirdly, we need God's Word in our lives fully and richly and permanently so that we can teach others. If we hide it under a bushel, we'll regret it through eternity and others will be lost. Fourthly, we need God's Word in our lives so that we can fight the enemies of God, both in and out of the kingdom. The apostle wrote in Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I contend this morning, friends and brethren, that not one human being will lose his or her faith if God's Word constantly dwells. And I believe the Bible teaches that so clearly. And finally, friends and brethren, this morning, we want God's Word constantly in our lives so that we, for the rest of our personal lives, may be positioned so that we can glorify our Father which is in heaven, and that we can play that proper role in saving our own souls and being instrumental in saving the souls of others. If you were outlining this lesson, you could have surely chosen other scriptures, and they would have been just as good, if not better. Every Christian today and tomorrow and for the rest of the time that this world stands must be concerned and involved in spreading God's Word, in believing God's Word, in teaching God's Word, in living God's Word. God's Word is what we need. And may each of us be blessed to trust it and live it.